Hello, and welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, August 9th, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, the VA suffers its second data breach in 3 months. Spy Dynamics' Billy Hoffman recaps Black Hat and the dangers of Ajax application in this week's Security Spotlight. And AOL catches flack for exposing search data. But first, our top story. IT administrators have a brutal month of patching ahead of them, following Microsoft's Tuesday release of 12 security bulletins covering a range of problems in Windows, Office, and Internet Explorer. In all, 9 of the bulletins have been deemed critical, and a total of 23 security holes have been fixed in this month's release, including previously exploited Windows, PowerPoint, and Excel flaws. Microsoft described the critical flaws as those an attacker could exploit to take complete control of an affected system. An attacker could then install programs, view, change, or delete data, or create new accounts with full user rights, the vendor said in its advisories. Security experts agree the bulletin to take most seriously is MS-06040, which addresses a remotely exploitable buffer overrun flaw in the Windows Server service. Amal Sarwat, director of Qualys' Vulnerability Research Lab, said the flaw addressed in MS-06040 is the only one in this month's batch that an attacker could exploit without user interaction. Experts also warn that this flaw has already been exploited. Also important is MS-06042, the latest cumulative update for Internet Explorer that fixes 8 different security holes. Metasploit framework creator H.D. Moore released at least one new browser flaw a day last month as part of his self-titled Month of Browser Bugs project, and Sarwat believes that's why the August IE update is so large. Plus, from what he can tell, this update probably didn't even address all the known IE flaws. He said Microsoft will probably need a couple patch Tuesdays to address them all. In other news, another Department of Veterans Affairs computer containing the personal information of thousands of U.S. veterans has been stolen. The VA says that a desktop PC containing data on as many as 16,000 veterans was stolen from the office of Unisys, a professional services firm that was doing insurance collections for the VA. The VA is investigating the possibility that the machine also has data on another 20,000 patients from its Pittsburgh facility. The data on the PC is believed to include social security numbers, names, addresses, dates of birth, insurance information, dates of military service, and medical claim information. This marks the second time in 3 months that the VA is dealing with a widely publicized security incident. In May, a VA laptop, an external hard drive containing personally identifiable information on 26.5 million veterans and active duty military personnel was stolen from a VA employee's home. The VA laptop was found about a month later, and law enforcement officials believe that none of the sensitive data was accessed. And now for this week's Security Spotlight. The hacking community convened in Las Vegas last week for the annual Black Hat briefings. This year's event wasn't nearly as wild as last year, when Cisco used a lawsuit to try to block a demonstration involving researcher Michael Lin, but there was still plenty to digest, including more than a dozen new exploits. Among the highlights, an entire track of presentations was devoted to Microsoft's demonstration of the security in its upcoming Windows Vista release. Researchers demonstrated the security risk of Ajax-based web applications, the potential for RSS and Atom feeds to be used as attack vectors, and how to hack a MacBook in 60 seconds by targeting its wireless card. Details of an alleged flaw in SIP and PIX appliances was briefly mentioned in one presentation before being put under wraps pending an investigation from Cisco and US CERT. Joining me to discuss it all is Billy Hoffman, a lead research engineer with Spy Dynamics, who gave presentations on Ajax security threats and web application worms and viruses. Billy, welcome to Security Wire Weekly.
Fantastic, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Billy, let's start with your overall observations from this year's conference. Were there any revelations that you found particularly interesting or surprising this year?
Yes. Well, first of all, Jeff Moss and the entire Black Hat crew deserves, a lot of praise. They had 3,400 people there, and logistically, the conference went really smooth. Presentation-wise, I really enjoyed seeing Johnny Cash and Dave Maynard's presentation on the Hacking the MacBook. Not because I'm very interested in hacking MacBooks, but they did a really neat technique where they fuzzed basically a device driver to try to figure out what parts of the device driver would puke when given bad input. And I think this method of attacking drivers can really transcend, to all parts of the computer industry. I also really enjoyed Jeremiah Grossman's presentation on port scanning through JavaScript. Both his company and Spy's done some work there, and he actually showed how to steal a user's browser history from JavaScript too.
Some have suggested that the atmosphere was a lot more commercial than in past years, particularly given that Microsoft had an entire track to demonstrate the security of Vista. Do you think the bigger vendor presence help or hurt this year?
Well, I mean, there was a big vendor presence in the vendor area in terms of number of booths. Microsoft was a platinum sponsor. I am a little concerned with, vendors are almost buying a track of talks. I think that, there really is a need for large targets such as Microsoft to get out there and be able to say, look, let's showcase our security. Let's talk about these things. I think they actually issued a challenge for people trying to break Vista, and there was an exploit called Blue Pill that was released a couple days later to show how to break into Vista. I don't know if such a large and respected hacker conference at Black Hat should be their stage just because they're the sponsor. I heard a lot of good things about those presentations, and people should talk more about how we're doing well with security as opposed to breaking security. I don't really know about the precedent it sets, though, when a vendor basically buys up a full track of speaking. Luckily, there were six tracks. You didn't have to sit there and watch the Microsoft stuff if you didn't want to. But it's an interesting precedent.
Now, you focus your presentations on web application threats. What's the main message you wanted people to walk away with, particularly concerning Ajax?
Well, for one, the Gartner group says that 70% of attacks these days are coming in through the application layer. So, we've got firewalls, we've got IDSs, we've got great ways to protect people from hacking you at your lower layers. But you know what? If I want to steal your database, if I have to do all this stuff to circumvent your low-level security, or I can just break in through your website, I'm going to break in through your website. I'm going to take the path of least resistance. And I don't think a lot of people realize how websites are a really great way to get to back-end systems. We're not doing a very good job with protecting websites now. With Ajax and some of these new Web 2.0 technologies, we're really just making it easier to break into our websites because there's more little finger holds, more ways I can actually talk to your app, and each one of those is another potential way I can get in. So the big theme is I can attack you now, and if you don't implement these new technologies properly, I can attack you with even greater chance of success.
Now, is the problem that developers of Ajax applications are getting sloppy and leaving security holes behind, or is it just that the attackers are simply getting better at exploiting it?
It's a combination of both. I mean, MySpace was purchased by News Corp for almost $400 million. Delicious has been purchased. Rightly.com, which is an Ajax-based word processor, was purchased by Google. A lot of people are seeing that there's money to be made in Web 2.0 apps. And so you have a lot of people who are saying, hey, I used to write Windows programs. I know C#. I can start writing, web apps. Not really understanding there are a lot of little nuances you've got to do to make your app secure. So we're kind of getting a lot of novices to the field who don't know how to properly secure the application. On top of that, our attackers are getting more sophisticated. We had the MySpace.com worm that hit in October of last year that was written by Sammy, which basically just, kind of did a little mischief. It caused you to add someone to your friends list. It wasn't evil per se. It didn't do a lot of damage in terms of maliciously destroying data. But just in June of this year, we had the Yammer worm, which hit Yahoo, their webmail portal. And it basically was another worm, like the MySpace worm, that would travel through all of the Yahoo mail users. And this was designed to steal web or to steal email addresses so spammers could sell them. So we went from proof of concept to something that attackers are actually using in less than 8 months. So it's obvious our attackers are getting more sophisticated.
Now, Billy, if a company is looking to introduce a website with Ajax features, what is your advice to them?
Well, I would first say whenever you're introducing any feature to a website or an application, regardless of whether it's a web app or even if it's an Ajax feature, you really got to ask yourself, is this needed? I've certainly seen a lot of applications, you know, banking applications, mortgage processing applications, that shouldn't be web apps, let alone web apps that are Ajax-enabled that have lots of feedback in them. So the first thing a company needs to do is say, do I really need to do this? What is gained by me doing this? Once they determine that they do want to create a web app, you know, and that maybe these kind of you know, nice feedback features of Ajax would be beneficial, they need to sit down and say, okay, what are all of the ways a user can interact with this application? Where are all the inputs into this application? And let me secure them. Let me use whitelist validation, where you're verifying that what you're receiving is what you're expecting, and minimize those inputs as much as possible. And also, they need to make sure that they're keeping the business logic of their application. The actual processing of the data, the contacting of databases, they need to keep all of that on the server side. On the client side, they should only have, you know, code to interact with the events, to send the Ajax requests, and maybe some simple validation. You don't want any business logic on the client side.
Again, Billy Hoffman of Spy Dynamics. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
Finally, AOL says it's sorry after a security gaffe. The Time Warner Internet unit has apologized for releasing keyword search information for more than 650,000 anonymous AOL users amid growing criticism from privacy rights advocates. AOL accidentally released information on about 20 million user searches that took place during a three-month period. An AOL spokesperson says the release was a mistake, calling it a screw-up the company is angry about. It blames the disclosure on an innocent attempt to reach out to the academic community with new research tools. AOL has launched an internal investigation into what happened and will take steps to ensure it doesn't happen again. And that's Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news. And don't forget that you can download more of our podcasts at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thank you for listening.